I warned you last week that this section of 2 Samuel, the story of David, was troubling. Did anyone go home and read further last week to see exactly how troubling? Was anyone deeply disturbed as Mary was reading? I know Mary was, because we talked about this right before worship this morning, how deeply troubling this portion of the story is. And just as a foreshadowing, next week it's really no better. These are some difficult parts of Scripture we're dealing with. And they're hard to hear, they're hard to digest, and they're hard to live with. Now, in this story today, King David finally gets his own. He gets his day of reckoning, and he's about to get a whole lot more. Now, one day, the prophet Nathan comes to visit David, and he tells him a story, a very sad story about a rich man who really gives it to a poor man who owned nothing but one sweet, cute, tender little lamb. The rich man stole that only lamb that the poor man had rather than sacrifice one of the thousands that he had. How does David react? He's fit to be tied. He's a fair and just man, and he demanded justice. He wanted justice to be served. He ranted and he raved about this evil rich man, and he said he deserves to die for what he did, and he'll have to repay that poor man fourfold for what he had done. His punishment has to be so severe because he had no pity on that poor man, no pity at all. Nathan was playing with David. He was setting him up. And just when David is full of that self-righteous anger, anyone ever get full of self-righteous anger? I know I am not the only one. Anyone love a good romp of self-righteous anger in their lives? Just as David is full of this self-righteous anger against this man in Nathan's story, just when David is in the middle of his tirade, Nathan lets him have it right between the eyes with a 2x4. You are the man. Well, Nathan's words just kind of grabbed David by the hair and pulled him up short. David stops in mid-rant about the injustice of that nasty rich man. He shuts up fast and stands there in amazement as Nathan laid out for all to hear exactly how David had stolen another man's wife, got her pregnant, and then had her husband killed to hide his sin. You are the man. Well, David's eyes were open for him pretty fast. His whole sordid past was laid out for everyone to see. And mind you, this altercation between David and Nathan takes place in public. This is not a private conversation. There's no more pretending for David what a good and wise and honorable and just man he is, and so much for his self-righteousness, so much for pretending to be a good, God-fearing man. Nathan had called his bluff and showed him for what he was: a liar, a thief, a hypocrite, someone with no mercy or justice, none at all. Just another person who was way too willing not to look at their own life, not to acknowledge their own sins, way too willing to talk about the sins and shortcomings of others without first examining their own weakness. It's kind of scary, isn't it? It's kind of scary how easily we can overlook our own faults and shortcomings without so much as a backwards glance. And even more scary, we rush to condemn others for what they've done without first looking at ourselves. Although you and I would not know what I'm talking about there, right? Have you ever caught yourself when you're in the middle of beating someone up about their shortcomings thinking, my God, that's the same thing I do. What a hypocrite I am. How many times don't we catch our shortcomings, though? How many of our favorite sins get through without even us giving them a single thought? How many of our most beloved and cherished sins don't we ever look at? This little interaction between David and Nathan teaches us a lot about sin. It's easy to look at the story and think that it's nothing more than a simple moral lesson. It's easy to reduce it to a simple little lesson. David did something bad. He tries to hide it, but to God, who sees all and knows all, God knows. So God sends this man, Nathan, to expose David. David was found out, totally embarrassed, humiliated, in deep doo-doo, a laughing stock, and poor, arrogant old David, well, his reputation is trashed. It's easy to make the story into a simple moral lesson. But this story is about a lot more than that. It's about blindness and seeing. It's about admitting your guilt, taking responsibility for it, humbling yourself before God, and asking for forgiveness. Now, as you all know, I grew up Roman Catholic. So every so often when I was a kid, it was off to confession. Anyone grew up Catholic knows the confession routine, right? Kneel in the dark box, tell the priest your sins. Maybe you get yelled at, depends on what you do. Leave with your penance. Say the prayers the priest told you to do, like 50 Our Fathers or Hail Marys or whatever it is. Maybe you have to clean your room. Maybe he tells you to try to be a nicer person. You know, it's easy to laugh at those days, but I find myself asking myself this. Mike, in what way are you any different, really, than you were back then? How have things really changed from being that scared kid in that dark confessional? And how are any of us any different? How often do we just do a quick inventory of our surface sins, and only during that little prayer that Mary just did, the prayer of confession, how many sins can we remember in that, like, 3 seconds? The little lie, the fight with our spouse, the little ways we fail to live up to our responsibilities as parents or spouses or children. We make a quick promise to try and do better. Maybe we even go so far as to assign our own penance to ourselves. It's like being that little kid going to confession all over again. Say your piece, take your medicine, get it over with. But what are the ways that we keep our heads hidden in the sand? How many hidden things are there in our own hearts that would be just as embarrassing as it was to David to have exposed? What is the price that we pay for glossing over our sins and shortcomings? Well, David found out the hard way what the price of his hidden sin was. But David found out a lot more than the cost of sin. He found out that to admit sin and ask God for forgiveness could be life-changing. David felt God's life-giving forgiveness change his life. He lived the amazing grace of God in this story. He earnestly admitted his sin and asked for forgiveness, and God gave it to him. The death sentence that Nathan had pronounced over David was lifted as soon as David confessed and asked for forgiveness. And just like David, through Jesus Christ, we have forgiveness. All we need to do is ask. Just admit our sin and ask for forgiveness, and we have it. God's forgiveness is poured out on us through the blood of Christ, and we can be made whole again. All we need to do is open our eyes to see our sin and open our hearts and ask for God's forgiveness. It's that simple. But the story of Nathan and David does not end here, and we need to hear more. But what comes next is the part that makes us uncomfortable, as Mary and I were talking. Even after God forgives David, God goes on to say that the child that Bathsheba will bear is to die for David's sin. Now, I know that you have trouble hearing that, and I have trouble hearing that. I know that this story is hard to accept. And maybe some of you are even thinking, well, that's that old vengeful God of the Old Testament. Our God, the God of the New Testament, well, that's different. He would never act that way. I admit, I have trouble hearing the rest of this story, but it's an important story to hear. It teaches us about sin and forgiveness. But more importantly, it teaches us about the consequence of sin. It's easy to think that all there is to the story is asking for forgiveness and receiving it. It's easy to think that after we admit our sin and ask for forgiveness, that everything is cool again and we can go on our merry way. But the story of David reminds us that there are still the consequences of that sin that we need to deal with. And forgiveness doesn't mean that we're freed from the responsibilities and consequences of our sins. Forgiveness does not make the damage that our sins cause just disappear into thin air. Innocent people get hurt. People suffer as a result of our sins. And through no fault of their own, people we love sometimes bear the toughest consequences of our sins. For David, it's his son who bears the consequences. The story that follows the passage this morning is the story of the death of David and Bathsheba's son. And it's a tough story to read, and it hurts. And it stabs us in the heart, and it makes us scream, "No fair, God, no fair." It was David's sin and not the child's. But David was forgiven, and the child dies. It's not fair, God. The amazing grace of God means that in Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. That's the good news, the good news. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. And it takes a big Christian to admit their sins and ask for forgiveness. And God pours out his forgiveness on us whenever we ask for it. Yes, it takes a big Christian to be able to examine their lives and confess their sins. But it takes an even bigger Christian to deal with the consequences of their sins, to deal with the aftermath, to pick up the pieces. David's friends and family thought that he would never survive the aftermath of Nathan's visit. They thought that the death of his son would be his death too. But by the grace of God, he survived. He made it through. And his relationship with God was even stronger than before. That's not to say that the consequences of his sin with Bathsheba and Uriah will not have long-lived consequences, but that's a story for another time, like last week, because like I said, this story still has not finished playing out. And the take-home message of this story is not to say to ourselves that, thank God, while we may be bad, we are never as bad as David. And that, thank God, while we may have done bad things, we have not committed adultery and then had the third party murdered. Very few of us, I hope, can claim that. That's not the point of the story. The take home is that forgiveness is open to everyone. No matter what we've done or where we've been, forgiveness is ours for the asking. The grace of God poured out on us through the blood of Christ is the source of our strength too. David, in this story, takes a trip to hell and he comes back. But he came back. He came back. And it was only possible because of the grace of God. It was God's grace that kept David together. And it's only by God's grace that we're forgiven. It's only by God's grace that we can accept and seek to correct the consequences of our sins. It's only the amazing grace of God that can forgive us and set us free to put our lives back together. And it's only that amazing grace of God that can give us the strength to deal with the consequences and the aftermath of our sin. Amen.